Thank you for the revelation of your word that we heard today, that this is the only word given on earth where the author is always present. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you as the inspirer and the giver of God's word to teach us today. Amen. We make the decision to set our heart in the place to receive from you, Father, not just to be a hearer, but a doer of your word. Amen. Amen. So with Psalms 133, and we're speaking of Christian unity, unity among believers. And just a little bit of review. The Passion Translation, I'll go ahead and read that. This is a song to bring you higher by King David, Psalms 133. How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It is as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For from this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life forevermore. Amen. So, the Amplified Bible says that it's as precious as the oil of consecration coming down the whole body, the consecration of the whole body. That this anointing, this sweet anointing, is precious. It is as precious as the oil of consecration. Okay? Unity is where God, the Lord, pronounced his blessing, even life forevermore. It's refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon. So, the Lord here in his word has given us a picture of what sweet harmony is and what sweet harmony does. So, we looked last week at the first part of that. We delved into that a little bit. We're going to look at it some more. Unity is as precious as the anointing oil upon Aaron's head. We looked at that, the anointing oil. It's the oil of consecration, and it sets us apart. Exodus 30, 23 through 25. Okay? I'm not going to reread that. Okay? But there were different ingredients that were put into this anointing oil. God gave specific instructions. This anointing oil was not to be put on every priest. It was just to be put on the high priest and the high priest's sons. Okay? So we saw that it was made of different ingredients that were very diverse. Very diverse. But yet when they were all mixed together, they became one. Sacred and holy oil. We talked about how our diversities are our strength when we're unified in the truth of God's word. And that's what unity is. Unity is not when I agree with you and you agree with me. Mm-hmm. Unity is when you agree with God and I agree with God. Amen. That puts us in unity. Okay? So, just briefly, I'm going to go over these ingredients again. Myrrh was the first ingredient, 12 and a half pounds. Once again, you get this in Exodus chapter 30, 23 through 25. Cinnamon represents gentleness, 6 1/4 pounds. Calamus represents meekness, 6 1/4 pounds. Cassia represents long suffering, 12 and a half pounds. And you mix all that into a gallon of olive oil, and olive oil represents forgiveness. Forgiveness. All that is mixed into forgiveness. Amen. Becomes that sacred, holy, anointing oil. The qualities of this compound were most fragrant. Aaron was not qualified to minister until he was anointed by this oil. It wasn't for common or ordinary use. It was all effused and poured forth compared to oil shut up in a vessel. The anointing, we have Christ in his anointing. His anointing abides in us, but it's useless if it stays in us. It becomes more powerful when it is poured out or used. Just like wonderful perfume. If it stays in a bottle and is never released, it's not really done what it's not. It is, does not fulfill what it was created to fulfill, to release a fragrance. Amen. And that's what the anointing oil does
for us as believers when we pour it out on others, when we pour it out to others and minister to others. It releases that fragrance. The fragrance of who? The fragrance of Christ, the fragrance of life. Not the anointing oil of every Levite or priest, but Aaron the high priest who represents Christ. And Aaron's seed, which represent who? Us. We are the seed of Christ. We are the brethren. So this anointing oil he's speaking of here, this harmony that God is speaking of here is compared to this precious, holy, sacred anointing. Anointing. The anointing of Christ. Amen. It flows down Aaron's beard, flows from his head, dripping down his beard all the way to the hem of his priestly robe. Mm-hmm. Now, we need to remember, as we study this, we are comparing harmony, Christian harmony and unity to these things. The focus of our study is what Christian harmony and unity does, the power and authority in it, okay? We don't need to get so bogged down, I'm preaching to myself up here, that we forget the focus of what we're doing. We're talking about harmony, the power of unity among believers, where God does what? He commands or he releases the blessing. When these things are present, there is a release of God's blessing. So first of all, we see that harmony, Christian harmony, is not something to be taken lightly. It is sacred and holy to God. It is so sacred and holy to God, God says there are six things that I hate and the seventh is an abomination. And that is the one who sows discord among the brethren. That is how holy and sacred harmony is between a husband and a wife, between a body of Christ, between godly friendship, okay? Okay, so we talked about the authority, meaning the head, and the Lord gave me something fresh this morning I want to share with you, something fresh and new this morning. So the oil was poured forth first on his head, dripped down to his beard, and to the hem of his garment. Very interesting, that word hem, of his garment. Didn't know it, didn't realize it, but I want to share with you briefly what the Lord gave me this morning about authority. With authority comes responsibility. You cannot have authority without responsibility. You can delegate authority, but ultimately when you delegate authority, you have authority and you delegate someone to do this and someone to do that. If they don't do this and that, where does the buck fall? Back on you. Okay. A person who walks in authority, a person who truly walks in authority is a person that takes responsibility for the place God has set them. If you're not willing to take responsibility for the place that God has set you in, then you do not walk in real authority, and this is how you know. It's the difference between a person that says, you ought to respect me because I'm this and that. No. I don't respect you because of a title, because you call yourself this and that. What causes me to respect and acknowledge your authority is the same reason that the Father God acknowledged Jesus' authority, is because Jesus did the work the Father called him to do. If you take responsibility in a given place that God has placed you in, then you have authority there. You don't have to go around and say, I have authority there, because God demonstrates through your action, your behavior, that you have authority. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because this is it. This is the litmus. This is the test right here. Okay? If you have true authority in an area, then when the good things happen, if you have true authority in that area, when the good things happen, you rejoice. But when the difficulty comes, you stick it out. You stay there.
That's right.
A person who just wants to be said, I have authority, you ought to do this and this and that for me because you know I'm this and that and that. They watch them. Watch. Are they around when the difficult times come? When the difficult and the hard times come, are they anywhere to be found to help? See, with authority comes responsibility. If you're not responsible in the area you are, you have no authority, and God will not recognize your authority. If you don't take responsibility for where God placed you, because see what the Apostle Paul said, I'm not a doormat. People want to call, I'm an apostle this, apostle that. You're a doormat, my friend. You're a doormat to be walked over. You know why? Because if anything goes wrong, it comes back on you. Okay? Jesus assumed that responsibility, and that's why the Father has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Amen? So that was just fresh off the fresh bread today for me. So Lord just ministered that to me, so I want to minister it to you this morning. Okay, so the head speaks of authority. It started at Aaron's head. The anointing gives you the authority. If you don't walk in harmony with God's word and Jesus Christ, and if you don't walk in harmony with wherever God placed you, then you have no authority. You might be yelling and screaming for people to do things, but you don't have any authority. You don't have any authority, and God doesn't recognize it. Where there is not that unity and harmony, that's what God compares it to right here. It's right here. It's right on air. Who anointed Aaron? God. God called him out, anointed him. And God said, this Christian unity is like that anointing. It's sacred and holy. And it gives you authority.
Yes.
Okay, I'm telling you.
Yes.
When you walk in this unity with God's word and with other people, you have authority. Things will move in Jesus' name. If things aren't moving in Jesus' name, then we have to go back and check. Okay, am I in unity with God's word? Am I speaking something contrary to God's word? Am I out of harmony with my brothers and my sisters? Because God says, even for a man, if he does not love and cherish his wife, God will not even honor his prayers. And the same thing with the female. The female is not exempt from that. That we are to respect and honor our husband, as Christ is the head. So we respect and honor. And so we say to the head, the man, over a union, is that I follow you as you follow Christ. I follow you as you follow Christ. Amen. Okay, so we have the authority thing. Y'all, this is so beautiful. This might be the key to why some of, you know, we know we have authority, but things just aren't moving in our life. We've got to keep this. God says he commands a blessing here. So then we got down to the beard. It went to the beard. The beard represents the age. That's number 2206 in Hebrews. Okay? 2206 in Hebrews. And we would look that up because I was interested. And I know there's a lot of places in the scripture about that. But I found Leviticus 21:5. Leviticus 21:5, God gave some specific instructions concerning the priests. They were not to shave their beard because they were not to bring shame to the name of God. It was just how God wanted it. God said, even biblical days when they would conquer their enemies, they would shave them. They would shave their head. They took away their authority, their prestige, their honor.
And dignity.
So we see the beard here represents the aged. That's what the word means. It actually translates aged, A-G-E-D. It means maturity. Aged maturity. So show me a person who might, you can quote all the Bible you want to quote. You can be the King James, walking around King James. You can quote all the Bible you want to quote. But if you don't live in harmony with your spouse, and with people, and with your brethren, in your church, you are not mature.
Amen.
How much word you can spout out does not make you mature, you spiritually, spiritually mature. Okay? If you're in harmony with God, that's a sign of maturity.
Amen.
That's a sign of maturity. You know, it takes a mature person to keep your mouth shut when you just want it so bad. Because you know the truth of the matter. That person's just standing there just proclaiming like they just know it all. Like they're the Wikipedia. You know, they know everything about the subject, you know. And you're just standing there thinking, that is so wrong. And it's just everything within you just to keep your mouth shut. Especially when they might even be a more mature, older person, because you need to respect the age. But you don't have to respect what comes out of their mouth. Proof?
Amen.
Proverbs 16:31. A hoary head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness.
Well.
A hoary head or a gray head is a crown of glory if it is found the way of righteousness. A gray haired person is not always a wise person.
Yeah.
They, if they are found in the way of righteousness, then they are a wise person. And there's a crown of glory on their head. Okay, so the beard speaks of the aged or the mature. Okay, so this is, it's beautiful with the Lord. I can't explain it. It is just beautiful with the Lord. It's just absolutely beautiful. How when you walk in harmony with God's word, he just matures
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
You just grow. And it's just so beautiful that it just affects every, it affects your relationship. When you walk in harmony with Christ and his word, and you walk in harmony with your, with the brethren, God's just growing you up in ways on the inside that you can't even imagine how he's growing you up and maturing you
mm-hmm.
and giving you revelation. It's all these things are directly connected to living in harmony, especially among brethren. They are blessings that God commands on our life. I want to walk in the authority of Christ. I want to be mature in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So the next thing we're going to look at is, was a very interesting word. Okay, so it starts at the head, flows down to the beard, and the hem of the garments. Very interesting. Maybe you already knew this. But that word, hem, actually translates collar. C-O-L-L-A-R. Collar. I got scripture for you. The King James says skirts. It flows down the skirts. See, I always thought this was a picture I always had. And not that I couldn't do it, but I always had the picture, oh, here's Aaron, the oil is poured, oh, they're pouring a gallon of bucket of oil on his head, it's pouring all the way down to the hem of his robe.
Mm-hmm.
To the collar.
Oh.
To the collar.
Mm. I see it now.
The beard to the collar. Why would God say collar? Curious minds need to know and find out. We want the revelation here. So here we go. Like I said, the King James says skirts. That's number 6310. Okay. Some translations might say hem of his priestly robe. Are you ready for the definition of skirts in the King James? Are you ready for this? Are you really, really ready for this? Okay. 6310 means the mouth.
Mm.
The mouth.
Pay.
The mouth.
Pay.
Pay.
Yeah, pay.
Yeah,
no,
pay.
The mouth.
The
pay.
Mouth. Yes. Yes, the mouth.
Yes.
And this is a year of the mouth.
Yes.
The container. See how God sets us up?
Pay.
Those who walk in unity with God's word and one another are going to have what they say. Because they're going to say what he says. And what he says will come to pass. I'm telling you about this flood over there. Come on. I can see you about this flood.
Oh, Kathy, you know where I always talk about
and it's getting
woman,
even better.
Where I talk about the woman with the issue of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always told you that she would say,
say,
if I could just get to, if I could just get to covenant, and we were still thinking it was the hem, the bottom.
Oh my God.
If I can get to the one
to the
who
word.
Speaks the word of God.
The word.
But then what did Jesus tell her? Your faith has healed
my
you. Because she kept saying, if I could get to the man who knows the
God.
Word of God, would you still covenant?
Word.
Oh my God, oh my,
oh my
God,
God,
oh my God,
God,
oh my God.
Well, you're going done now. You're going to be beside yourself. As I keep on going, you think you're done now. Oh my God. Okay, here we go. Here we go. From the mouth as a means of blowing.
Wow.
As a means of blowing. From the mouth as a means of blowing. As particularly speech. Speech. Unity affects your speech. Show me someone who speaks rightly, they walk in unity. Show me someone who doesn't speak rightly, they are out of unity with God and the body of Christ.
Lord.
My God, I never, and thank God, I can tell by y'all being surprised you didn't search this out. I'm glad because you didn't burst my bubble today, because I knew some of you would go. From the mouth, a means of blowing, as particularly speech. And it goes on down and gives the definition, collar. Because where does it stop? It stops right here at the collar. What's the collar?
The neck.
The neck.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from another word, 6284. 6310 comes from another word, 6284, that means to blow away or to scatter into corners. To blow away or to scatter into corners. Now, so it gets even better. It gets even better. This is the neck area. Why would God say the neck area? Right here is a collar. That's your neck. Amen. And also because you're going to have this to make the sound that comes out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And this right here, the neck area. Right, oh, God.
Oh, my,
oh my God. The neck area is going to reveal the condition of the neck area. I'm talking spiritually. The condition of the neck area, that's why you had to be anointed on the head, down the beard to the neck. The condition of the neck area is going to determine what you say, what comes out of your mouth.
The abundance of the heart and mouth
speak. So, I said neck. So I looked up scriptures on the neck. Are you ready for this? Okay, because the collar's right there, the neck area. Okay, Hebrew neck. I just couple here. You do more. There's a lot more. 6304. Number 6304. The reference is Genesis 49:8. So we need to read that. Genesis 49:8. I should have already turned on my Kindle Fire so I could have this ready. But we're going to look at some things about the neck. The importance of why God says in His Word that it's going to flow down the neck. It's going to affect the neck area of Aaron, the high priest, and his seed, and us. This is what unity does. Okay, I'm going to have to get someone else to read it while I'm bringing this up.
Genesis what?
We're going to do Genesis 49:8, and it doesn't matter to me what translation you read out of, but it's Judah's blessing.
Yes.
It's a blessing that was spoken over Judah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so whoever's got it, whoever gets it.
Judah, thou art he whom thy brother shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee.
Okay, so neck. The neck here of the enemies, number 6203, is that it means the back of the neck. It figuratively means stiff neck. Okay, if you have a stiff neck, everybody ever had a stiff neck, is that the wrong way? You can't move it. There's no flexibility, there's no turning, there's no yielding. He says here, he says, Judah, read it again, read it again, Shirley.
Somebody.
Oh. Well, somebody, yes.
Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies.
Judah, you're going to overcome your stiff-necked enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Judah, you're going to overcome your stiff-necked enemies. That word neck actually translates to be stiff-necked. You're going to overturn, Judah, those stiff-necked enemies. You're going to put your hand on your stiff-necked enemy. To do what? To conquer them. To conquer them. You had another thought back there? Okay.
Yes. Because in other scriptures, what was one of the things that upset the Lord the most? He called them.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Okay.
Yeah, we're getting there.
All right. So then the other thought is when you conquered other kings.
That's right.
They cut off their head, the neck.
Yes.
This is from here to here is the full authority.
My God.
Because you would be cutting off the authority of what they said.
That's good.
And again, that's why she came to the Lord after however she heard, if I could just get the authority of God, if I could just get the word of God, I'll be healed. And it's the covenant. Okay.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Okay. So while I am pulling this up, I want to read this in the New Living Translation. Let's see if I can get it.
Oh my God.
Real quick in the New Living Translation here.
Kathy, this is the best cheesecake we've ever had.
New Living Translation. Isn't God good? Isn't the Lord good?
Dear Lord.
Okay, so
good.
So that was that's Genesis 49. Let me find y'all. Bear with me. I'm trying to get it to come up on this apparatus here. I'm trying to move with the flow here for time. Aren't you proud of me, Jose?
Miss Kathy, I'm proud.
Okay, here we go. I know you are. Here we go. Here we go. I just wanted to hear him say it. He still didn't say it.
You always
okay, 49. Okay. Judah, your brothers will praise you. You will grasp your enemies by the neck. You will grasp your enemies by the neck. All your relatives will bow before you. This is the prophetic picture. Christ came out of the lineage of Judah. Okay? This is the prophetic picture of us in Christ Jesus. When you walk in this sweet anointing, you are able to grab your stiff-necked enemy by the word of God. Remember, we don't war against flesh and blood. We war against principalities and powers. Amen? Okay, so now here's another warning to us. Psalms 75:5. God resists the stiff neck. We know that from Scripture. He, like Carmen said earlier, he called he called his chosen people stiff neck. You're a stiff neck people. Psalm 75:5.
Right.
Let's go back to Psalm 75. I'm going to read this from the Amplified translation. This is really good from the Amplified. This is what sweet unity does. That bird is just praising God out there. Okay. Psalm 75:5. Listen to this. Lift not up your arrogance, your aggressive horn on high.
Well,
speak not with a stiff neck and with insolent arrogance. Speak not with a stiff neck. That's what God, when God was anointing Aaron, went down his collar, God said, do not speak with a stiff neck. With a stiff neck, once again, indicates, I'm not willing to yield. I'm not willing to turn. That's a stiff neck. Rebellious against God. Don't speak with a stiff neck. That's a warning to us. That's who God is using. That's who the Lord prophesying to Judah, that Judah was going to overcome all of those that spoke with a stiff neck. That had a stiff neck. Not necessarily spoke, but had a stiff neck. Okay, so here's another word for neck. Number 1621. Now this is beautiful. We've all heard this before. This is beautiful. Bind the commandments of God about your neck. I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation.
What scripture is that?
This is going to be Proverbs 1, verse 9. This is the difference between having a stiff neck and having a yielded heart toward God and obedience. Okay? Proverbs
1:9.
Proverbs 1:9, yes. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. I'm going to read several here from the Passion Translation. Wisdom of a father. He's talking about God's words, wise words of instruction, right? He says, for their insight will bring you success, adorning you with grace-filled thoughts and giving you reins to guide your decisions. Giving you reins to guide your decision. Go over to Proverbs 3, verse 3. Hold on to loyal love and don't let go, and be faithful to all you've been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity, with truth written upon your heart. Okay, this is, or your translation says what? Tie them around your neck. Tie them around your neck. The neck is a symbol of your will and your conscience. Verse 22. Go to verse 22. My child, well, that's verse 21. That's good, but let's go to 22. For thy strength, for they strengthen you inside and out and inspire you to do what is right. You will be energized and refreshed by the healing they bring. So here's a footnote here that I want to share with you from Proverbs 1:9 and Proverbs 3:22 in the Passion Translation. It gives a footnote here that's really good, and it says, some translations say it'll be chains for your neck, right? God's word will be chained for your neck. The neck is a symbol for willing obedience that guide our decisions, in contrast to being stiff-necked or proud.
Wow.
So this is the opposite of being stiff-necked. This is how we overcome the stiff neck. We overcome it by loving, cherishing, honoring His word. Tie His word about your neck. Let it be like a chain about your neck. It will affect your will or your conscience. Reading God's word and receiving it will even help you, will even help your will, will even help your will to even want to do the right thing. Okay, so I'm just going to step up by faith. I'm just going to say this because I believe it. That word that's being played over our children, the word of God, I can't even tell you how many times I've gone through the Bible. It is helping their want to.
Yes.
It is helping their will and their want to. That's what He says is you bind His word around your neck like a chain, because it affects your conscience. It affects your thinking and your will and your emotions and you want to. That's why God said you anoint Aaron, because Aaron was a man, right? Yeah, a man called out by God. He was a man, just like you and I, with natural, with feelings and emotions. And God said, this anointing oil that's going to be poured on Aaron's head, says I'm giving him authority, it's going to come down his beard, which is going to, he's going to mature and grow in the knowledge of me. He's going to be respected, but also it's going to flow down the neck, because it's going to affect his want to and will. Because there's going to be some days Aaron's not going to go and do the high priest thing. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? Is there ever some days you don't ever want to do what you know you ought to do? The anointing oil helps you to do that. But also it's compared you to what? To the sweet harmony and unity. Unity with God helps you to do the things you don't want to do, Carolyn. Unity with the brethren helps you to do the things. It helps you to stick it out during the hard times. When your flesh wants to run away. But you stick it out. Glory to God. Don't shout, church. I promise. Don't shout. Leave it up to me. That's what unity with God does. He compares it to these things. Y'all, it's powerful.
Yes.
Unity is powerful.
Yes.
It gives you authority in areas where you say, Satan, go! And he has to flee. Glory to God. It's the difference between demanding someone to give you the authority you want for attention or whatever reason, and the difference between humbling yourself before God and letting God anoint you and give you the authority in the area to say. Elijah was a man of like passions, and he prayed for how many years and the heavens shut up. Then he prayed one prayer and the heavens opened and it rained. Hallelujah. The anointing oil affects your neck.
it keeps you from being stiff-necked and rebellious against God. Hallelujah. And that's what God compares the harmony to. When you walk in harmony, you will put your hands on the neck of your enemy. When you walk in harmony and unity with God, you will place your hands, as the blessing of Judah, in Christ Jesus, you will place your hands over the stiff-necked enemy, and even your enemies will rise up and pray.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you for that overwhelming response.
My God.
My God.
I'm saying the chokehold.
There you go. My God, my God, my God, my God. Okay, let's keep on going because I got to finish. I'm a woman on a mission today. I got to finish. Okay. 1621 comes from 1241, the throat, as used in rumination. You know what rumination is? Okay, the throat. Yeah, I told you about the neck.
Right.
I said, God, why the collar? Why the neck? The throat.
Mm.
All these words come together.
Mm.
All these words come together. Okay. 1621, which is the word for neck, that I gave you out of Proverbs 1:9, Proverbs 3:3, Proverbs 3:22. It's that 1621 neck. It translates. It comes from another word, 1641.
Mm.
1641 means the throat, as used in rumination, or to bring up the cud, to catch or to chew. The stomach of some animals, like a cow has about three or four separate cavities of the stomach. Figuratively, it means meditation, but to chew the cud means to chew food brought back up from the first stomach.
Yeah.
Now, it sounds kind of gross, but that's what the cow does. He brings it back up from the first stomach, chews it again, digesting, and brings it down.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Ah, the word!
That's what the word does. You got to catch it.
Word!
You got to catch it. But it's got to go in the stomach.
Ah,
it's got to go in. It's got to be chewed on, and then God brings it back up, and then you catch it. Then you catch it. That's what the prophetic is.
Yes.
The prophetic is you've got the word of God in you. You're praying for someone, ministering someone. You've been chewing on the cud.
Yeah.
You've been chewing on it, meditating on God's word. All of a sudden, it comes up and you catch it. And you say, this is the word of the Lord. Woo! You caught it. You got it.
That's good.
It's to catch it. That's what chewing the cud means, to catch it. The cow chews it and then he catches it and comes back up and chews it again and digests it. You got to digest the word over and over and over and over again. You got to get it in one stomach. Go to the second stomach, the third stomach. Bring it back up to the second stomach. Take it again to the first stomach. You got to get it. You got to get it. You got to catch it.
That's good.
That's what the sweet anointing does. That's what sweet the sweet harmony allows you to catch it.
Yes.
It allows you to get it. When you walk in harmony with God and others, you catch things in the spirit realm that other people don't catch. They can't get it. They can't understand it, but you catch it in the spirit realm. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! That's a good preaching, Holy Ghost.
That's right, Holy Ghost.
The bathroom. It's the only book where the author's always present.
Yeah.
Woo! 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 Now I know some of y'all are bursting at the seams, but I gotta go on to the next part because I'm a woman on my mission. I gotta finish today. Okay. Now, what about that dew coming down Mount Hermon? What about that dew coming down Mount Hermon? He compares the sweet anointing to the dew coming down. That is a phenomenon.
Yes.
You know what a phenomenon is? A phenomenon is something that is rare or unique. It doesn't happen everywhere and all the time. The dew that comes down Mount Hermon. Let me read this to you from the Biblical Illustrator. And I'm about come undone again. I'm going to come undone again, but it's okay. I'm going to read it to you, then we're going to break it down. Okay. The Biblical Illustrator, this is a book, a set of books that my father gave me, by Joseph S. Excel, but I believe, of course, in giving recognition to where you get information from. Carmen, always been a huge blessing to me to give me things, you know, that I can share with the body, and I thank God for that and for her. But this Biblical Illustrator explains this dew that comes down Mount
Hermon. Unity is as refreshing as the dew on Mount Hermon. This is phenomenal, particularly to Palestine and the East. Now, you know, now just let me say now, that you know how God loves Israel and how he loves his chosen people. Yeah. Even though sometimes they've been stiff-necked, but when they repent and God allowed them to put their hands on the neck of their enemy, glory to God. So anytime you see in the Word of God where God compares anything to Israel, pay attention.
Yes.
Pay attention. Unity is as refreshing as the dew on Mount Hermon, as if it's a phenomenon, particularly to the Palestine and the East. Soft mist comes from the Mediterranean during the summer. Soft mist comes from the Mediterranean during the summer when the heat is the greatest. When the heat is the greatest. And the country is burnt up with the terrible sunshine. It is attracted by the inland heights. It is attracted to the mountain. This soft mist is attracted to Mount Hermon. It is attracted by the inland heights and condensed in copious moisture upon their sides, upon the sides of the mountain, and creeps down the plains, reviving and refreshing every green thing. Mount Hermon gets it first. God. Mount Hermon gets it first.
Amen.
Mount Hermon gets it first. That makes me right there, and I just want to stop because I want to, but that makes me think of Psalms 91:14 in the Amplified Translation. Mount Hermon gets it first. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to break it down. You're going to see some things in this. It's the reason why God said it this way. It's the reason why the author said it this way. Psalms 91. Who gets it first? Who gets to do first? Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon gets it first. Okay, here we go. The Amplified Translation. Psalms 91. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Some of you didn't catch it. You didn't catch it. Because he has set his love on me. Who's going to get it first? I will set him on high. Who's going to get the blessing first? The one God set on high. Like, there's an analogy there between Mount Hermon and spiritual condition. Because he has set his love upon me, walks in that harmony with me, walks in harmony with others. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name. Has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. And trust and relies on me knowing that I will never forsake him. No, never. Mount Hermon gets it first. The one who walks in unity gets the blessing first. They get the dew first. Okay. I'm going to back it up a little bit more. It is not a coincidence that this dew is formed when it's the hottest part of the season. It is scorching hot. The land is burnt up with the heat. And during this time, that is when the moisture is developed. And then it's developed and it gets attracted to Mount Hermon. God. It is during the most heated points in our life where the battle is the hottest, where it's the most intent, where God wants to command the blessing. That is what, oh my God, during those heated times in our life where it would be so easy just to walk away,
yeah.
just to give it up, just let them have it, mm-hmm. throw in the towel.
Mm-hmm.
It's but we stay loyal to God.
Mm-hmm.
We stay loyal to God in that moment. That's where the dew, oh my God. That is where the dew is being released from our life. When we make the decision, I'm going to walk in unity with God. I'm going to do what God tells me to do here.
Yes.
I'm going to walk in unity with my brother. I'm not going to get in strife. I'm going to walk in, I'm going to trust you, God, to work it out. I'm going to trust you, God, to change it. I don't understand it, God, but I'm going to trust you to work it out, God. God, you've got a plan. I don't know the plan, but God, you've got a plan. And I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to walk away. I'm going to stick it out.
Yes.
It's during the most heated times of our life, the heat, the times of our, where the dew is formed, where the dew, you don't feel it, you don't know what's happening, but when you're sticking it out and walking in unity and harmony with God, dew is being formed. Dew is being formed out of that heat and that hot part. It takes the hottest part of the season in the Palestinian area to develop the dew. If it wasn't for the hot part of the season, the dew would never develop. And the dew gets attracted to where? Mount Hermon. It gets attracted to the one who walks in unity with God and with their brother, the high place with God. It gets attracted to the person, to that person. And then it does what? It flows down. It doesn't just stay up there. It's like, gets high and lifted up. No, it flows down. It flows off of you and makes you a blessing to other people. It flows down and fills up the water streams. It waters the vineyards and waters the corn. It gives life. It gives hope to other people that don't have. It replenishes and refreshes. And it flows down to the valley and makes it green and full of life.
Yes.
Glory to God. But it's in the hardest part. My God, my God, my God. It's in the hardest part of your life where you stick to it and you don't abandon and walk away, where God commands the blessing on your life. You don't even know what's happening in the spirit realm, but it will manifest. But God says, that's my child and I command the blessing. I release the blessing on her life or his life. Glory to God.
Jeez.
Hallelujah. Y'all, it's true.
Yes.
It's during the hardest times we don't understand what God is doing, how God is blessing and forming things. He's blessing and he's forming dew. God, during the heated parts of your life, God is forming dew. He's forming dew. And that dew is attracted to you. That dew is only attracted. It's for you. That dew is for you. That dew is for you. My God.
Would you read where you said it came down on...
I'm going to read again. Yes, ma'am.
I just want...
Yes, ma'am.
One part.
Soft mist that comes down from the Mediterranean, that comes from the Mediterranean, not down. Soft mist that comes from the Mediterranean during the summer when the heat is greatest and the country is burnt up with the terrible sunshine. It's attracted by the inland heights and condensed in copious moisture, little drops of moisture, upon the sides of the inland heights. It's attracted. It attaches itself to the side of the mountain and creeps down the plain, reviving and refreshing every green thing.
Every green thing.
Every green thing.
Reviving and refreshing.
Yes.
It does. It's green already. It just green.
There you go. What
now,
about that?
When you were talking about
that's,
that?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's us.
Yes.
When it flows down us, we're the green.
Yes.
He lives in here where he's growing in us.
Yes.
But when he really sends that, that's when the victory comes. Because you have been standing. You didn't wilt. You didn't get brown. You didn't pull away. You didn't die. You stood and you grew like a flower grows, a vine grows, and you become green.
My
and
God.
And you have life. That's
my God. My God.
Because we represent life.
Yes,
life
that's
green.
Right. That's right.
Yes.
That means you're, but you're not dead.
No, so you're not dead.
He's
no.
All he's doing, he said, listen, here I am. And you feel that refreshing on you. And you know, like we did a couple of weeks, you know he's in the room.
That's right. He's in the room.
He's in the mist.
He's there. He's there.
There's a mist.
Amen.
I know some of you have probably felt that mist.
Mount Hermon gets it. Yes, ma'am. That's good. Mount Hermon gets it first. It helps to keep up its unchanging robe of snow, and to fill its springs, feed its cedars, and then it flows down and makes the corn to grow green in the valley, and the vines to swell out their purple grapes in the vineyard, and the lilies to unfold their crimson and radiance in the field. And this is the wonderful phenomenon that the psalmist compares to unity and harmony of those who dwell together as brethren. Just as Mount Hermon, that is high above the plains and the valleys of Palestine, benefits them by its clouds and rains and streams. Mount Hermon benefits the valley, right? Because of the dew and the water that comes down. So, and imparts to them the blessing it receives from heaven, and thus becomes essential to their life and well-being. So these plains and valleys in turn have helped to elevate and maintain Mount Hermon on his throne, and send up to it their evaporations and radiations to become the source of its spotless snows, its billowy clouds, and its sparkling streams and cooling winds. They, the plains and the valleys, help Mount Hermon. There's no big eyes and little eyes in the kingdom of God, is what I'm trying to say. Just as the mountain helps the valley, so the valley helps the mountain. They, the plains and valleys, help Mount Hermon as much as Mount Hermon helps them. They are mutually dependent upon each other. That's what unity is. One is not envious of the other, nor does one look down on the other. They are associated together in physical harmony. Are you seeing the picture? Are you seeing the picture? So what is harmony? Harmony is an orderly or pleasing arrangement of parts or quality of or condition of going well together. Harmony is different parts going well together that set in place by God. It's not us being alike. It's not you being like me. It's not me being like you. Our diversity is our strength. But do you see here how important harmony is? Unity, God compares it to the sacred anointing oil. He compares it to the dew in beloved Israel that is unique. The dew, how it happens in Israel, is unique to the world. Yes. It's a phenomena of how that dew forms and comes down the mountain. So is unity. Unity is unique. Mm-hmm. My God, that's why we always say what we have here is so special.
Yes.
Because it's a uniqueness, and it's where God commands a blessing. Y'all, it's not because we're that good, and it's not because we're that this or that. It's because of the unity in this room and the harmony where God has commanded the blessing. He's commanded it. And even in the hard times, the dew is forming. The dew is forming, and it's attracting itself to us. Y'all. It's attracting itself to us. And it's flowing down off of us. And we have that as a demonstration. We have that. Because we are able to bless others. Look at all the places we've been able to bless as a body.
Amen.
Someone else had another thought. See, and all the time I saw, there's so much there.
Yeah.
It was such a
blessing to have more understanding in all those Proverbs scriptures where it speaks about to bind around the neck and all. So much more understanding now when we read that, because we are blessed because we are not a stiff-necked people.
No.
We are very yielding.
Yes.
And that's why we've even gotten the teaching and the understanding and the knowledge and the growth that we have here.
Mm-hmm. We're willing to receive from one another too, and from God.
And when the enemy and even people in the church are stiff-necked, like you were saying, it's like when we sleep wrong our neck, you can't see but so far. You're restricted in your view because you can't turn your neck.
My God.
You have to turn your body. Then if you turn your body, then the enemy can jump on you because you can't see them coming. So, but it's all about this. It's this authority.
It's right here.
It's this authority.
It affects your speech.
Yes.
Unity. The anointing is to affect.
Yes.
Is to affect your authority.
Yes.
Your maturity.
Yes.
And your speech.
Yes.
And when those three things are in line, when your authority and your spiritual maturity and your speech are in line with unity,
yes,
with God's word and others, God commands. He releases
the blessing. Amen. Because He wants to. He wants to. He wants to.
Any other thoughts or comments before I...
I have one. I don't sure how we do sound, but with harmony.
It's going to sound wonderful.
Harmony is like a piano.
A piano?
Yeah.
Yes.
With all the different music.
Yes.
And it come out as one sound that everybody say, whoa. That's how I look on harmony.
That's
together.
It.
You know?
That's right.
So that's how I look at
harmony. That is it. That's another definition of harmony. That's, yes. Mm-hmm. And don't you imagine even we go places, even like where we were yesterday?
Yeah.
I saw people, I just glanced around, and I saw people looking, especially when we laughed and we carried on. Mm-hmm. The diversity that was at that table.
The harmony. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we made one sound.
Mm-hmm.
We made one sound in the spirit realm, and that was the sound of love.
Yes.
That we love one another, love to be one another, and fellowship with one another. Amen. And it's where God commands the blessing.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Anybody else before I close down the recorder?
I wanted to just, you know, when you were talking about when it came down, and it watered the corn and all that.
Isn't that beautiful?
But you had also said earlier, which is true,
when
we're green
and
we're standing and we stay green, and then when that victory comes, that's when the mist comes down to those who are watching that need to grow to that level.
Yes.
Because then you said that grows, and then it sends it back.
That's right.
To the mountain.
That's a good word. That's good.
So that's harmony.
That's good.
Because then the mountain's going to grow a little bit more.
Mm. It's going to be blessed.
These sisters, brothers are going to grow, and so pretty soon they're going to be a mountain.
What about that?
It's going to
continue cycle. That's good. Because when it flows down to the valley to bless the valley, then the valley turns back and blesses the mountain.
Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly what happens. Through the evaporation, the other process, and the natural, the valley gives back to the mountain.
When you share the word, you're blessing the valley.
Amen.
Not that y'all are valleys, but we all have valleys. Mm-hmm. So you never know what's going to bless. It's blessed me because I'm like, wow, you know. And so when you share the word, then you're the green stuff.
Yeah.
And then bring it down. And
that's right. It comes back to you.
Then somebody's going to become green.
Amen.
And then you can share it and make somebody else green.
Amen. Glory to God.
Anyway, that's enough.
That's good.
I haven't had much sleep.
No, that's good. That is good. Anyone else? Anybody else? Why? Do the pronounce the blessing. Carmen had blessed me with this blessing, so I'm going to speak it over us. The Lord bless you. May Yahweh, He who exists, kneel before you presenting gifts. Kneel before you presenting gifts. Are we getting this? May He keep you. May Yahweh, He who exists, guard you with a hedge of thorns, protection that will prevent Satan and all your enemies from harming you. May He protect your body, your soul, your mind, your spirit, your loved ones, and all your possessions.
Amen.
May Yahweh make His face to shine upon you. May Yahweh, He who exists, illuminate the wholeness of His being toward you. May God illuminate the wholeness of who He is toward you. Continually bringing order so that you will fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose.
Yes.
May Yahweh be gracious to you. May Yahweh, He who exists, provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you, and give you sustenance or provision and friendship.
Yes.
What is friendship? What is stuff without friends?
Mm-hmm.
It's a dust collector.
Yes.
The Lord lift up His countenance on you. May Yahweh, who exists, lift up and carry His wholeness of being toward you, bringing everything that He is to your aid,
yes,
supporting you with His entire being, and give you peace. And may Yahweh, He who exists, set in place all you need to be whole and complete so that you can walk in victory moment by moment by the power of Holy Spirit. May He give you supernatural health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfection, fullness, rest, harmony. Carmen caught this last week. She was sharing it with me. Harmony, the blessing. The blessing promotes harmony as well as the absence of agitation and discord.
Because you can't.
Because.
To bless us.
Yes.
You cannot. Within peace, His peace, and harmony, there can't be agitation and discord.
No.
You can't have agitation and discord and have harmony. That's why He said it's with the absence of agitation and discord. No agitation or discord, because He wants to bless us.
That's right.
And He wants the harmony.
Yes.
It's without agitation and discord.
And when you're walking in that unity with God, the agitation and discord is going to try to come in, but it's going to meet it with a harmony. It's going to have to go that way.
Yes.
It's going to have to go that way.
Yes.
Now, you're not attracted to me.
It's like what Tuan was sharing with us earlier, just in the fact of the things that came. He had to say no.
That's right.
You have to do the same thing with agitation and discord. That's when it lit up in me. See, it was that cud. It was chewing that again. That when it came back up, I caught it.
You caught it. Amen.
See, it's when agitation and discord was coming towards me.
Yes.
And I said, no, in His peace, no agitation, no discord.
That's right.
Because I'm choosing harmony.
That's right.
Because my Father wants to bless
you.
Amen.
Amen.